It was ridiculous, of course. A halfpenny game in a country house, but I could sense Bryant was as worked up as if there'd been 1,000 guineas riding on his partner's card. It wasn't healthy, and I wanted out of the game then and there, but I'd have looked a fool, and Aunt Selina was tapping for a second card and looked at me severely. I put them round, and Bryant snapped up Mrs. Locke's second card and showed it to her with a grin. Disraeli displayed his 21. The rest bought a third or stood pat. I faced our cards. A knave and a 3, which was bad. I faced a third, an ace, which gave us 14. Nothing for it but to go on. And I turned up a 4. We were at 18, and at least 3 players were sitting pat on 3 cards, which meant probably they had 18 or 19 or better. I whispered to Fanny, did she want to try for a 5-card trick, which would beat everyone except Codlingsby's 21?
Oh, yes, please, cried she. We are in luck, I feel sure of it.
I put my thumb on the top card and stopped. Something was damn far wrong somewhere, and I knew it. Bentinck knew it too, and Aunt Selina, who was staring over her spectacles at the pack in my hand. Others in the room sensed something. Locke and Morrison had broken off their conversation to watch. Bryant was smirking across at me. I flicked over the top card. It was a deuce, giving us 20 and victory. Bentinck cried, ha! Aunt Selina muttered something under her breath, and Fanny gave an ecstatic squeal and began to rake in the stakes. I gathered in the cards while everyone chattered and laughed. Mrs. Locke had an ace and a 9, I noticed, and I commiserated her on her bad luck. Bryant pipes up at once. Very bad luck indeed, I should say. But I ignored him and told Fanny we must now pass the bank to Disraeli, since he had scored 21.
Oh, must we? Cries she. And we were doing so well. What a shame it is.
Aunt Selina exclaimed at her greed. There was more laughter, and Disraeli took out his eyeglass and bowed to Fanny. I would not dream, says he, of claiming the cards from such a fair banker. A pun which was greeted with polite applause. Oh, I dare say her partner is quite happy to pass the cards, cries Bryant. The killing's made, eh, Flashy? Now, you could take what he'd said as a joke, but the jarring note in his voice and the grin on his flushed face told me it wasn't. I stared at him, and Bentinck's head whipped round, and suddenly there was silence. I think it's your bank, Dizzy, says Bentinck quietly, his eyes on Bryant, unless the ladies feel we've played enough. The ladies protested against this, and then Bryant cut in again. I've played quite enough, thank you, and I dare say my partner has too. Mrs. Locke looked startled, and Bryant went on. I never thought to see... But let it go. And he turned from the table. There was a second silence, and then they were babbling.
What did he say? What did he mean?
And Bentinck was flushed with anger and demanding to know what Bryant was implying. At this, Bryant pointed to me and says, It is really too bad. In a pleasant game for the ladies, this fellow... I beg your pardon, Lord George, but it is too much. Ask him, cries he, to turn out his coat pockets.